This podcast is a proud member of the Lamb Podcasting Network. Find the network at largeassmovieblogs.com.
Welcome to the Really Awful Movies Podcast, a celebration of low-budget cinema.
The sleep of reason gives birth to monsters.
Hi, I'm Chris, and along with Jeff, we're bringing you the very best and worst of horror, sci-fi, action, exploitation, kung fu, and women in prison movies from the 1970s to today. Be sure and check out reallyawfulmovies.com for reviews, interviews, lists, and terrific movie giveaways. From our downtown Toronto headquarters, here's episode 33, Firestorm. Firestorm is basically Backdraft's retarded cousin. And originally it was to star Sylvester Stallone, and apparently I guess the production company went belly up, and the project budget had to be cut by I think two-thirds, so obviously Sly was no longer involved in the project, and they had to get the next best thing.
The tenth best thing.
Which would be ex-NFL Raider star Howie Long. This giant, you know, he stands a head taller than Sly. He's a 6'6".
A foot taller than Sly.
Well, a head, it depends how big your head is.
I guess so.
Yeah. He's 6'6", 300 pounds. He's a Hall of Fame football player. He played for the LA Raiders. He's a badass defensive end. And he took the role that Sly was to take, and this was a film that was, again, the budget was substantially cut down.
All I can say about this movie, Chris, is dumb.
One, dumb.
One, this is one.
One of the dumbest, without a word of hyperbole, one of the most lunkheaded,
ludicrous,
moronic films you will ever have the displeasure of subjecting yourself to.
And yet pleasure at the same time.
Yeah, I liken it to seeing a chunk break off of a glacier. So it's very there's something strangely captivating, and yet it's incredibly ridiculous and slow moving and frankly quite stupid. So you're struck with awe, but then again with the experience of, oh man, they made this. And I'm so disappointed to see, again, Backdraft, The Right Stuff, co-star of Howie Long, Scott friggin' Glenn, who's a legend, who should have known better. Obviously, he has the same script reader as, again, Howie Long. He will take anything at this point. He plays the grizzled firefighting captain.
The veteran, yep.
The veteran, and the bad guys played by Bill Forsyth, who is best known for The Devil's Rejects. He's an incredible actor, and he stole that picture. He's incredible, but in this, he's less than incredible.
Terrible. Yeah. But you mentioned the right stuff. This film is the wrong stuff, in my opinion. I'll admit, I'm not a football fan. Yeah. I mean, I do know some of these names transcend the sport. Your Brian Bosworth, your William Refrigerator Perry's, even your Howie Longs. I mean, so. You know, I mean, obviously, Howie Long is, I've heard of him.
He's the host on Fox Sports. They preview shows for, NFL football, but...
And there have been, football players that have actually made the credible leap.
Jim Brown.
Exactly. I was going to say Fred Williamson, another one.
Exploitation heroes.
Unfortunately, I mean, it's to bring this name up, but I mean, O.J. Simpson had a bit of a career.
He was fantastic in Naked Gun. Nordberg is an iconic role.
Exactly. But I mean, this Howie Long dude, this guy, he could not be more... square and more boring.
And more wooden, considering they're fighting forest fires. He's quite wooden. Maybe apropos that he's wooden.
I mean, he's supposed to be this action star, but in my opinion, he looks like a guy that should be leading some sort of fucking corporate retreat into whatever.
Yeah, team building exercise.
I mean, he's got this ridiculous, kind of like crew cut.
Yeah, it's a ridiculous army issue Marine hairdo. So, yeah, we got here. Howie Long is a firefighter, so we're going to stop, drop, and roll and try and stomp out this this horrible blaze here before it gets out of control.
Yeah. And now, before we get into the plot once again, I got to say one more thing about Howie Long. I mean, the guy had like this ridiculously goofy look on his face the entire time. There's this weird, fatuous smile. I mean, the man looked like a guy. He looked like someone.
A deer in headlights.
Yeah, a deer in headlights. Yeah. Or somebody that's just like a really motif. Satisfying shit. Like, he had this look on his face. Like, I just had a great dump, and I'm really happy. And
yeah, I'm going to revel in it.
Actually, this movie was a big dump.
It was a piece of shit. And he stars as he's an instructor for a heretofore unknown profession. Mm-hmm. This is a subset of firefighter who these guys tackle bushfires, you know, wildfires in California. They're known as smoke jumpers. Mm-hmm. And who would have thought, the career, you know, lifespan's got to be fairly short for this profession. These guys actually jump out of airplanes and tackle raging infernos. Mm-hmm. And they're kind of like paratroopers. They jump out of airplanes with parachutes, axes, and God knows what in tow to battle raging infernos. Mm-hmm. And he's one of them. And in this ludicrous scene at the beginning, he's got some probies, some guys he's training, and they're scaling these poles that try to replicate like a Douglas fir or some giant tree. And the one guy drops his axe and nearly cleaves Howie Long's dumb bulbous head in two.
By about 2 inches, right?
Yeah. And lands at his feet, and instead of getting, "You fucking idiot, you almost killed me," he looks at him with like a shit-eating grin. He's like,
you crazy kids, crazy axes. Actually, you know, it's funny because axes fit,
are so prominently
in this movie that I really feel like the alternate title of Firestorm should have been Don't Axe, because there's a lot of axes in this movie. So yeah, you mentioned these smoke jumpers, and I mean, I didn't know that this profession exists, but apparently it does. I mean,
yeah.
And so,
assuming the beginning of this movie is true, they have this caption that says there are what 400 of such people employed in this capacity in the United States. These guys who are on kamikaze missions to descend onto raging infernos.
And infernos, yep.
Good for them.
So it's a film. I mean, the first inferno that we see is this out of control forest fire in some sort of in an area that's actually populated with a bunch of cabins and stuff. And our heroes, our team, you know, led by Howie Long,
And Scott Glenn is the chief.
And then there's some chick involved and some other people. And so they leap in, and ostensibly they want to like rescue the denizens of this fucking trailer park in the middle of the forest. And I mean, this being a stupid ass PG-13 action film.
Yeah, you've got the cute, rosy-cheeked, blonde 8-year-old kid, or whatever, 4-year-old, whatever she is, I don't know.
Who, in my opinion, looked like a live-action cabaret doll. I mean, she was like moon face, she's wearing these stupid, like, Oshkosh,
Oshkosh by gosh overalls. And she's got this cute, cute puppy, straight out of Wizard of Oz that I'm coming to play later.
So, you know, Long and his team rescue the parents, but like, oh my god, you gotta rescue my child.
Blah, blah, blah. He chops down a tree in order to use as a bridge to get to this cabin. So the tree, of course, falls at a perfect angle that leads right to the cabin.
Right to the cabin. And then Long does what every firefighter does in every movie. And I don't understand this. I mean, because I've never fought a fire. Have you fought a fire?
I've caused the small fires in my high-rise.
I've smoke alarms myself. But they always take their arm, their forearm, and they kind of lift up above their forehead. And
the fire retardant properties of your forearm.
Exactly. Like,
as they
come to blaze, it's always like, well, I got to like lift my forearm in front of my forehead, because, I mean, obviously my forearm is fire retardant. So that's going to protect me from this raging fucking 1,000-degree inferno. And he barges in and trying to find this girl.
Yeah, this cute little kid is hiding in a dollhouse.
In a
so just underscore
dollhouse.
That she looks like a doll. And given, again, as you mentioned, this is PG-13 fare. You're not going to see any charred, barbecued remains of anyone. So Scott Glenn's got the dog. And Howie Long's got the kid under their arm. They escape. But
and speaking of the Scott Glenn having the dog, I mean, i.e. Toto, I mean, this is sort of like a Wizard of Oz because all of a sudden
a mobile home is picked up in the middle of this raging storm, and this home, this RV home, drops on Scott Glenn, which you would think having a 2-ton structure drop on you would kill you.
He's literally pinned under a house, okay?
He's pinned under this structure, but of course the dog is saved and runs away. You know, this, and he, I think, he just maybe sprains an ankle.
Yeah, the Wizard of Oz is pinned under. Oh my God! And you know, somehow he survives.
Yeah, he survives.
Not worse for wear, except he's
got a bit of a limp, and he has to seed the running of this specialized team of smoke jumpers to Howie Long, his second in command. Mm-hmm. But lest you think this is some sort of retrograde, third-rate backdraft, which it is. no mistake there. This is also a prison breakout movie. Mm-hmm. So you've got these
prison breakout / heist /
yeah. Mm-hmm. So you've got this. Who knew in the state of Wyoming, they actually, as part of a make-work program for cons, they, instead of having them pick up garbage on the side of the road in orange jumpers, mm-hmm. and as part of a chain gang,
yeah.
they actually have low-level criminals, again, not the pedos, not the rapists, not the savage murderers, right. the guys who are doing like 2 to 5 years,
yeah.
they get them to battle forest fires. And these guys actually want to do this.
Right.
And like, so I guess like, anything to get out of their cells, yeah, so anything to get out of the yard.
Yeah. Instead of like a Cool Hand Luke, you know, it's not the roadway,
what?
You know.
What you've got here is a failure to enunciate. If you're Howie Long, it's a fucking terrible actor.
Terrible actor. Yeah. So instead of that, they're actually conscripted to go out there and fight forest fires. So we have a bunch of
like guys who are, you know, these are not violent offenders. They're going to go out and, you know, in battle the forest fire as it rages. But the one guy, he is a definite psychopath.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got access to millions of dollars because he's been imprisoned for being a train robber.
Yeah, Butch Cassidy and
Sundance Kid, who knew, like, you know, given the state of train travel in North America, that this would still be a thing. But this guy has 27 million squirreled away, and he's also 30, a psychopath, yeah. 30 whatever million, it is. Yeah. He's a psychopath, so of course he did not qualify to fight these fires, but he wants to go out and use this as a means of escape.
Yeah.
So
when we first meet this, and this is William Forsythe, I mean, you know, he's
from The Devil's Rejects, great actor.
And it's interesting because in The Devil's Rejects, we have Bill Moseley playing, what was the character's name again?
I forget, but he's the leader of this creepy family of cannibal murderers. Right.
And he's playing, and he looks a bit like Greg Allman. Mm-hmm. Now, in this movie, when we first see William Forsythe, he looks like Greg Allman. He's got like you know,
long beard, long hair, beard, like a, like
and everything.
So like he's a Vagos biker gang guy. Mm-hmm. And he assumes
Otis. That was the character.
Otis, yeah. He assumes the identity of a guy who's like a small-time, whatever, con.
Mm-hmm.
He shanks this guy, puts on his glasses,
does
like Clark
hair.
Kent,
yeah.
and cuts his hair, and then suddenly he becomes
a doppelganger.
And this is the most poorly run prison in Wyoming, because generally when someone is shanked with a toothbrush and murdered in their cell, they put the place on lockdown. Don't let anyone leave the premises, mm-hmm. but someone's got to do this work. There's a fire raging. This make-work program must go on. The cons have to go out and do their chain gang thing.
Yeah.
So William Forsythe gets on the bus, and along with a bunch of other cons, they head out into the wilderness to fight this blaze.
Right.
So, of course, you know, William Forsythe, his name is Shay in the movie.
Right.
He confers with his other guys in the bus and says, listen, look, when we get there, we're gonna fucking get out of here. Mm-hmm. We're gonna break free. I've got millions of dollars from the activity that put me in the joint.
Exactly.
I was a robber. I got all this money. You guys help me out. Let's break free.
And we'll split the money.
We'll split the money.
That's the way.
This is a heist movie.
As if there's ever honor among thieves. Have you ever seen a heist movie where they split the money? No. Fuck no. But anyway, we'll get to that later on. So. Yeah, so I mean, you know,
they get to this forest fire out in the sticks of Wyoming,
mm-hmm.
and the perils of, again, it's far better to have guys in orange jumpsuits pick out garbage because they've got this little stick to pick up like a bag of chips or like,
whatever. Use cigarette boxes, even a used condom. Who the fuck cares? You know what I mean?
Cons access to pickaxes and fucking weaponry. So of course, these guys, they're ostensibly there to, you know, clear the brush to make sure the forest fire doesn't spread. But they got pickaxes. Look out, hacks. Look out, guards.
Yep.
These guys are armed. These guys are dangerous. They take out some of these guards. And
then they don the regalia.
Of some of the associated firefighters. And again, there's no honor among thieves. Mm-hmm. These guys trap the remaining thieves who were not privy to this escape plan. Mm-hmm. They take them, the guards, trap them in this prison bus and leave them to be overcome by this fire. And Shay, William Forsythe, adds to the fire by, you know, he's got matches with him, and he just adds more fuel to the fire. yeah, literally. And right. So these guys are about to be fucking succumb to flames.
Right.
And Forsythe and his band of five guys, they don don
the yellow
jackets. Gay apparel of firefighters, and this is ridiculous. They pretend, because they're on the border, that they are Canadian firefighters. So they put on these ridiculous accents.
Right, so we should say this. So at this point, Howie Long and his crack team are, you know, entering the fray as well.
Yeah.
Kind of battles this out-of-control blaze. Yeah. And Howie Long, Jesse is his name. He comes across this band of quote-unquote firefighters.
Yeah, he descends, of course, because he's a paratrooper / storm jumper, smoke jumper, my apologies. And, you know, he lands in the most ludicrous skydiving, escapade ever.
Well, it's not Howie Long. It's Howie Long's stunt double. But anyway, let's not quibble. But anyhow.
He descends there and he sees this group and they try and pass themselves off as Canadian. Now, obviously, we've made no secret of the fact that
we are Canadian.
Yes. We're from Toronto.
Yeah.
These guys talk like hockey players from like the 1970s, and this guy like references Wayne Gretzky and every other Canadian celebrity from the 1980s, you know, Frenchies, whatever, like terrible fucking accent.
Yeah, okay, there are Canadian stereotypes, for our listeners in the US, UK, what have you, we're Canadian. I'm sure that over the course of 33 episodes, we've said a number of times, right? Yeah. We've even had a Tim Hortons.
What are you talking about, eh?
We are. You've heard us speak now for a number of episodes.
Yeah.
We don't talk like this, eh? We don't say, if we get out of this, I'm going to buy you a nice, cool Canadian beer.
Yeah, get you like a Molson, eh?
Yeah, eh? Because I am Bob McKenzie, this is my brother Doug. And, fucking ridiculously offensive. I mean, when I saw this shit, I want to fucking throw my brick through my TV.
I want to take my lumber jacket and fling it through the TV.
Yeah.
And to his credit, Howie Long's Jesse sees a little bit that something might be amiss.
He's a little.
Because these guys don't know how to fight fires, and they're in the midst of this brush fire. They're in the midst of this brush fire. They don't know what the fuck they're doing. They don't know what direction smoke travels, fire travels. But he ascribes it to underfunding by the Canadian government. Who knows? And so they continue. They're trying to get out of this place alive. They realize that there's a trading post in the middle of this forest, and they make their way there, and Howie Long's Jesse goes into the trading post to make a phone call to tip people off, say, hey, we're stranded here, please help us out. At this point, Shay, the gang leader, he sends his number one goon into the trading post to kill Howie Long,
because
he's going to tip off the authorities. And this guy is a fucking terrible actor.
Right.
He is an ex-Russian
wrestler. Yeah.
And this guy has
Nikolai Volkov.
He has hair like the guy in Dumb and Dumber. He's got this ridiculous blonde bob.
Yeah.
And he's like 6'5". He's at least as big as Howie. Mm-hmm. And he goes in. And as Howie Long's making the phone call, this guy is stepping up behind him to kill him. And this is where we get into the most ludicrous fight scene.
Right. Okay.
This is a trading post. It's got a weight load bearing.
This is a cabin made out of wood.
Wood, yeah.
With like load bearing posts made out of wood, okay?
Yeah.
So it would make sense if you're in a building made out of
wood,
yeah,
and you're going to fight somebody, you're not going to be swinging axes willy-nilly, you know, because what do axes do to wood?
Yeah.
You chop them down, right? Mind you, it does take a swing or two to,
it takes
know,
all of one swing to send this.
It does, yeah. So they're fucking fighting away at these axes, swinging back and forth, and of course, you know,
yeah, Howie Long is an ex Hall of Fame football player, yeah. So it's almost as if they wrote in, much like Hard to Kill with our favorite Austin 316.
Hunt to Kill.
Yeah, or Hunt to Kill, mm-hmm, you know, with Stone Cold Steve Austin, right, who's got clotheslines galore because he was a wrestler.
Right.
They had to write in a scene where he tackles someone, like a tackling dummy. He's a defensive end from the Raiders. So he throws his shoulder into this Russian bad guy, takes him out, and finally beats him down.
Yeah.
But Shea, who's in the interim, whose goons have taken a bird watcher female captive in the interim while this fight is going on, he sees them inside his trading post. He sees them in the trading post and he sets fire to this place from the outside. He sees that Howie Long is a capable fighter, sets fire to the place. But wouldn't you know it, in the middle of this trading post, like, this place is supposed to have camping equipment, beef jerky.
Like, get some earthworms or bait or
Shop. I don't know. What does a trading post have in the middle of nowhere? Like, supplies.
Tobacco, whatever.
Not a fucking Ducati, like, speedster motorbike in the middle of, with the fucking keys in the thing.
Fully gasoline. She's inside.
Yep. So Howie Long jumps on top of this motorbike, mm-hmm, and bursts right through the window and escapes the inferno that's about to engulf this trading post.
Yeah.
And of course, he sees the woman, and she's been taken hostage.
Mm-hmm.
He grabs her, throws her on the back of his motorbike, and they start running away.
Yeah. Well, not running away, but riding away.
Riding away. And I can't remember, because this is insane and ridiculous.
Ludicrous.
But they must have gotten some ATV or van. I think it's some sort of van they got from God knows where.
Mm-hmm.
And they start chasing the motorbike through the wilderness.
Mm-hmm.
And
again, the bad guys
start chasing Howie Long and this birder. She's a birder. She's an ornithologist, whatever she is. She's trying to take a gander at the great blue heron or something. Is I don't know. Whatever, she's trying to, like, you know, capture some moment of nature. You know? Yeah, God knows what. You know? And these guys are in tow. They're chasing them. And I don't remember because this is absurd, but Howie Long / Jesse has a chainsaw that he's picked up. And as he's absconding from these bad guys, he revs the chainsaw. With one arm. Again, he's on a motorbike. With one arm, and then he flips it behind him.
And this is physically impossible because, I mean, the way his arm was situated, like, he basically threw it in a horizontal fashion, which would have meant that the chainsaw would have went horizontally and probably would have went maybe a distance of, like, 2 feet. No, it makes this parabolic arc in the air. And
and hits the windshield. Yeah.
Which even begs the question, why do you even have to rev it up? If all you want to do is crack a windshield, just throw off one
object. Just take a rock and to crack a windshield. That's exactly enough to get people off your tail.
But then, and the other thing it was I found hilarious, so as they're escaping on this motorbike, or whatever the hell they were on, they jump a gorge, right?
Of course, there has to be a gorge.
And this, I mean, right away my mind flashes back to that classic Simpsons episode, Bart the Daredevil, where Homer has to go over this, like, you know, Springfield Gorge. Unlike Homer, they actually, I guess they make it? Do they? Yeah, I guess they do.
Yeah, like an Evel Knievel kind of jump across this gorge, and I guess they land in some like Deliverance-esque, like, raging river.
Mm-hmm.
And we get to this point where Howie Long, it turns out, he's afraid of fucking water.
He's a firefighter.
So this, you know, deep, you know, irony, of course.
Exactly.
So he's afraid of water.
Right.
And he's in badly injured at this point,
mm-hmm,
and he's almost going to drown, but he's got this ornithologist, a semi-attractive, you know, woman in her late 30s. She's kind of cute.
Yeah, yeah.
And now, as she rescues him from the you know, the raging rivers.
Yep.
So, she's not only an ornithologist, bird watcher, aficionado.
No.
She is a combat medic with Marine
training.
How fortuitous.
So she, of course, can tend to his wound because she's a medic. Otherwise, he would have just ended up in a crumpled mass of broken bones in the downriver. So she helps him come out of this movie. Come out of this river.
And it wouldn't have been to come out of this movie, but anyway.
And well, meanwhile, as we said, there's no honor among thieves, so Shay, the gangster, is progressively killing off every member of his entourage in order to keep the bigger percentage of the proceeds from his heist to himself.
Right.
So and he's variously shooting them or pushing them off.
Yeah, and he keeps blaming on something else. Yeah. Like, oh my god, I just turned my back.
Oh, I went off the cliff face and I slipped.
And so before you know it, it's like, you know, it's down to him. And was it Barry Pepper? Was he the last survivor? You know Barry Pepper? He's a Canadian actor. He was in, like, Saving Private Ryan, Battlefield Earth, what have you. This was his film debut, but anyway. Battlefield Earth, a future podcast. Anyway.
Yeah. He meets his demise.
Yeah.
Of course, because this is an action film, you have the head bad guy versus the main good guy. So it's, you know, very much like the baddie in Die Hard and whatnot, you know, when he comes swinging in to attack McClane. These guys have to battle one another. And there's a raging inferno, of course. So Howie Long is not only battling the inferno, which is encroaching them, and they're in the water, as we said, he's also battling this guy, Shay, who takes an inordinate amount of punishment, but he's still kicking.
But we should say, though, at this point, I mean, Howie Long is not alone because his lame-ass compatriot...
Hey, she's not that lame. She's a combat medic.
I'm not talking about her. I'm talking about Scott Glenn.
Oh, Scott,
This is the lame Scott Glenn who a house falling on top of him and is now basically... The guy should be in an iron lung, but instead all these guys are... It's just a walking stick. Just a flesh wound, exactly.
It's just a flesh
wound. A walking stick on Charlie Chaplin. He decides to jump in.
Yeah, and he decides to descend because he's a storm... I keep saying storm. He's a smoke jumper. And he admittedly at this point, because it is said that he is involved and he's feeling some incredible guilt because he has started a fire in order to get some of the proceeds for some developer, and so his idea is to, like, Greek lightning, start a mysterious fire, and no one knows its origin, and then he takes a cut from the developer.
He played a firefighter/arsonist in Backdraft. He's doing the same shit in this movie.
Same shit, different pile, but he is.
So he's got to redeem himself.
Yeah, he feels incredibly guilty that he's burning, like, thousands of acres of Wyoming brush in order to get a payoff from this developer. So he descends to help out his buddy.
And yet he's, like, summarily blown away by Shay within, like, 3 seconds of touchdown. But anyway, forget about that.
Yeah, Shay blows him to Kingdom Come.
Right.
And this last battle where you have this inferno and a raging river, and the ornithologist/marine medic and Jesse, Howie Long, they're taking refuge in this boat, overturned boat.
It's like a canoe of some sort,
They're trying to stay underwater and yet keep the air in there because, again, the raging forest fire is around them. And, again, this guy can take so much punishment, this gangster, and he keeps coming at them to the point where Long hurls.
Well, this is my favorite part of the movie, because all of a sudden, you know, you got this sort of slow-mo scene where, like, Howie Long, like, just...
emerges from the water.
He upturns
the sword of Excalibur.
He emerges from the water, and he hurls an axe, another axe, and he just throws
it. It's like
a
Highland Games.
In a beautiful parabolic arc, and again, right into the chest of
Shay. Yeah.
And, I mean, that just reminded me, like, that was pure, like, Jason Voorhees.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I was like, you know, all of a sudden he goes from being, like, this lame-ass action hero to being, you know, the Terror Crystal Lake, and I was fucking howling at this point, man. Like, this is fucking ridiculous.
This is fucking awful. And,
This is even an even more ridiculous denouement. Because, I mean, again, the axe is like this motif that goes on and on and on.
It's a MacGuffin, yeah.
Yeah, and so the final scene, and we'll just spoil the crap of this piece of shit. So, you know, everything is back to normal, and, you know, more recruits are being trained.
Yeah, and one of the recruits is in a helicopter ready to do his, maybe his inaugural jump, and he loses his axe.
Yeah.
And the axe falls within a meter, again, of nearly splitting Howie Long's head in two.
Head in two. And once again, he just looks up and goes, oh, you crazy kids.
Yeah, oh, God.
And then with a stupid grin on his face,
roll credits,
oh, end of movie. Awful, awful fucking movie.
Right. Just,
it's like, it's contagious dumb, because I felt like the dumb was rubbing off on me, or like I had somehow taken on the dumb, and I felt like my IQ was dropped 20 points.
20 points from watching this movie.
Dumb fucking movie.
Yeah.
I still give it maybe three and a half stars on a rating scale. Again, it's ridiculous. Maybe some of the dumbest scenes you will ever see in any film.
Mm-hmm.
Man, for that, there's something to be said. Because okay, so it's very unforgettable.
Yeah, I'll
maybe
give
not
it,
in a good way.
I'll give it 2.5. I mean, I'm less forgiving than you. I mean, it's very, very dumb. I guess if you have absolutely nothing better to watch, and you just want to, like, you know, watch.
It's just, yeah, fodder for a Sunday afternoon. Just,
yeah, and, yeah. I mean, if you're with some buds and you're having a few drinks and you want to just laugh at a movie, yeah, this is one to watch. I mean, it's a stupid piece of shit. But
what did you learn?
What did I learn? Well, you know, it's not so much what I learned. It's what it's the limits that I've now reached. Okay?
Yeah.
Because I have now between this piece of shit. Virus, you know, the Brian Bogle vehicle.
Hunt to Kill. We have reached.
I have seen so many shitty action films
that are lensed in BC.
They're lensed in BC that are supposed to purportedly the states, but not only that, they take place in a fucking forest.
Yeah.
I cannot take one more action film in a forest. I'm done.
So
finito,
now
we've, sayonara.
We've seen the wilds of Wyoming. BC passes itself off as the wilds of Wyoming. We've seen BC passing itself off, well, the city of Vancouver as Reno, Nevada,
the home of
gambling and whorehouses. We've seen Montana.
Mm-hmm. And in an upcoming podcast, we're going to see it passed off as Seattle, Washington, too.
Yes.
Something to look forward to.
Forget the Space Needle. Don't worry about that.
Well, we have stock footage.
Yeah.
But we're going to talk about it. We're getting ahead of ourselves. But fuck it. Anyway, the point is, Chris, I mean, if you find another lunkhead action movie that takes place in a forest, I mean,
all right, I'm left to my own devices.
You're left
on
to
that
your
one.
Devices.
Yeah.
It's no longer Chris along with Jeff. It's just Chris. I'm done. Out. Finish. And you will not bring it back in. Okay? What did you learn from this?
I learned that any action movie worth its salt has to have a reference to the title in some of the dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
And this is no exception, as we saw in Hunt to Kill. When I hunt,
I hunt to kill.
Again, not hunt to maim or hunt to graze. In this movie, we've got, you don't want to get caught in firestorm. All right. Future. Yeah. There we go. Duly noted.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm ever in the bush and there's a fire, I'm running in the opposite direction with much haste. Also, when I'm close to retirement,
mm-hmm.
I'm just going to cash it in and just take the money and run. I'm not going to let a mobile home drop on me like the Wizard of Oz. Like poor Scott Glenn has a 2-ton home drop on him.
So you're going to do a Steve Miller.
Yeah. take the money and run. Oh my God. That's what I learned.
Mm-hmm.
Just unbelievably brutal.
Yeah. And I mean, like, you know, Howie Long, to his credit, I mean, he was game. He tried.
Yeah.
You know,
he was in Broken Arrow with John Travolta.
Yeah, and that was a John Woo film. It was actually his performance in Broken Arrow that
that spurred a 3-picture deal with whatever pathetic film distributor financed this
right,
awful
so
thing.
Right, so it was a 3-picture deal, and it's becoming a 1-picture deal because of this. So that was kind of that. So, but all the same, like, I mean, we're gonna keep hunting down these lunkhead action films.
Yeah,
you know, anybody that should not be in an action movie. So, for more,
check out really awful movies of which this is one.
Right.
.com, and we'll definitely talk to you soon.
And take care.